to turn this evening to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and we'd like to read verses 25 through verse 30. Book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 25 through verse 30. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants or needs. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. In these verses, we get to know a man by the name of Epaphroditus. He was a very unique individual. He was remarkable, extraordinary individual. We really don't know much about him apart from what we read here. But what we do read here gives us a pretty good profile of this man. And as we read these verses, we see a man that was possessed with certain characteristics that should be possessed by all of God's people, and certainly characteristics that all of God's people should strive after. He is a example of one who possessed the spirit of sacrifice for the sake of Christ. I believe we can safely assume that he was a man who had been saved by the grace of God. We're not told, of course, of his salvation experience, but I don't think there's any doubt concerning that. We see from his very name that it appears that he had been delivered from a pagan background. The name Epaphroditus comes from the name of a Greek god, Epaphrodite, which was the goddess of love. And the name Epaphroditus simply means the favorite of Epaphrodite. So I believe from that we can see that his family worshipped this goddess, Epaphrodite. And obviously, Epaphroditus had been brought out of that mess, been brought out of that family environment. We are not told again when Epaphroditus was saved. Perhaps when Paul went to Philippi, organized a church there. We don't know. It's really not that important. But I do believe that he was a saved man, that a change had taken place in his life. But what we want to notice tonight is we want to notice seven things about this man. And again, these are characteristics that you and I ought to desire. And it tells us much about how this man lived, how this man thought. First, we see in verse 25, we see five things and five characteristics of this man in verse 25. He was a Christian brother. Paul says, Epaphroditus, my brother. He's referring to him, of course, in a very personal way. But he says, he's my brother. Now, a brother, of course, is a person who has the same parent. Paul was born of God. Epaphroditus was born of God. In other words, they had a common source of life. A brother is a member of the same family. They are both members of the family of God. A brother is a relationship. And when Paul said, my brother, there was a relationship between Paul and Epaphroditus. There was a bond. A brother is someone who has had and does continue to have similar experiences. And Epaphroditus could identify with Paul being a brother. A brother conveys the idea of unity. Unity in sentiment. Unity in affection. It conveys the idea of friendship. It conveys the idea of affection. So Paul was saying a lot when he said, Epaphroditus, my brother. It also conveys the idea of understanding. It conveys the idea of support and comfort and encouragement and helping. Epaphroditus, my brother. Now, the term brother also implies an obligation. It implies a responsibility. And when Paul says, Epaphroditus, my brother, he was not merely recognizing Epaphroditus as his brother, but I believe he was saying that Epaphroditus had proven himself, had manifested himself to be a brother. In Proverbs 17 and verse 17, we read, a brother is born for adversity. That is, a brother is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. A brother is loving. So the first thing we read about this man is Paul says, he's my brother. Epaphroditus was a good brother. He was a good brother. And you and I that are saved, we ought to always strive. We ought to always desire to be a good brother, to be a good sister in Christ. Epaphroditus, my brother. And we could say much more about that, but again, Paul said a lot when he said those words. Secondly, he was a companion in the work of the Lord. Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor. That is, Paul recognized him as engaged in the same work, engaged in the work of the Lord. They were both engaged in the work of the Lord. This speaks of a common effort. This speaks of a common purpose, a common cause, a common goal. Epaphroditus had proven himself to be a brother, and Epaphroditus had proven himself to be a companion in the labor of the Lord. Not just brothers, but workers together. Workers together in the cause of Christ. And every single one of us ought to desire not only to be a good brother or a good sister, but we ought to desire to be a companion in the work of the Lord. Ought to all be desiring to be doing the work of God with a common effort, with a common purpose, with a common cause, with a common goal. That being to glorify and to please the Lord. So he was a companion in labor. The third thing that Paul says, he says, and fellow soldier. Epaphroditus, my brother. Epaphroditus, my companion in labor. Epaphroditus, my fellow soldier. That tells us that they were engaged in the same warfare. They were both fighting the same battle. They were both striving for the same cause. And just as Epaphroditus had proven himself to be a brother, just as Epaphroditus had proven himself to be a companion in labor, Epaphroditus had also proven himself to be a fellow soldier. Now, a soldier is someone who is prepared. A soldier is somebody who is ready to risk his life. And Paul said, Epaphroditus, he's my fellow soldier. In other words, he's prepared for the work of God. He is not only prepared, but he's ready to risk his life in the cause of Christ. And he has proven himself as such. It's not just that Epaphroditus introduced himself to Paul as a brother and a companion in labor and a fellow soldier, but again, he had proven himself to be these things. The soldier is loyal. Paul said, Epaphroditus, my fellow soldier. A soldier is obedient. A soldier is willing to endure. A soldier is willing to persevere. My fellow soldier. This implies that the life of Epaphroditus was a life of discipline. It was a life of order. It was a life of consistency. My fellow soldier. That means that Epaphroditus had proven himself to be steadfast. He had proven himself to be courageous. That is, he did not flee in the face of the battle. He did not flee in the face of great animosity. He did not flee in the face of opposition. Epaphroditus was a man who stood, and he had proven himself over and over and over again. People will always tell you, when it comes to battle, I'll be standing right there with you. But they may not. They may be long gone. Epaphroditus was one who had proven himself to be a fellow soldier. And we ought to prove ourselves over and over and over that we are fellow soldiers. That when it comes time to fight the battles, that we are going to stand. That we are going to be courageous, that we are going to be willing to risk our life and everything contained in that life Epaphroditus, my fellow soldier. He goes on, but you're messenger. He was a messenger of the church of Philippi. But you're messenger. He's my brother. He's my companion in labor. He's my fellow soldier. And he's your messenger. That is the church of Philippi. In other words, he was of use. He was useful to the church of which he was a member. He served a use. He served a purpose. Now, Paul, of course, at this time was a prisoner in Rome. And when the church at Philippi became aware of Paul's situation, they were greatly troubled. And they decided that we want to help. We want to help Paul. We want to do something for Paul. So they took a collection. The church took a collection. A gift of love was gathered. And they sent it to Paul. And notice in Philippians 4, verse 18, Paul says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Whatever that was, food, raiment, whatever it was. When it says that Epaphroditus was the messenger of the church, it does not mean that he was the pastor. It doesn't mean that he was the preacher. It simply means that he is the one that they sent with all of these things. And Paul says, "It was sent from you an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice accepting, acceptable, well-pleasing to God." So all of these things were sent by the church of Philippi, and they put it in the hands of Epaphroditus and said, "You go to that prison and you give these things to Paul." That tells us a lot about this man, your messenger. He was a chosen delegate of the church. He brought whatever they sent. And I'm sure with whatever it was that they had collected and sent with Epaphroditus, there was also a message of love and a promise of prayers. Epaphroditus, your messenger. So when the church needed someone to go, there was Epaphroditus. There he was. He was available. He was willing. The fact that the church chose him for this work reveals that he was a man of honor, a man of integrity. They trusted him with all that they had collected. Epaphroditus was a man who was trusted. He was a man of spiritual virtue. And no doubt in my mind that he was a man of spiritual depth. He was a man of spiritual maturity. He was a man who had love and devotion to Christ. And he was a man who not only had proven himself to Paul, but no doubt he had proven himself to the church of Philippi, for he calls again, they trusted him to send him with all these things. A If Home Baptist Church takes up an offering for a missionary and puts it in your hand and says, now we trust you to deliver this to this person. You're not going to do that just to anybody. You're going to do that to a person who has earned trust. To a person who has earned respect. So Epaphroditus was a man who was respected and trusted by the church of Philippi. They had confidence in Epaphroditus. They had confidence that his heart was right. They had confidence that he had a right spirit. And as Epaphroditus took upon this work, was not Epaphroditus being a help to the church? They didn't have UPS back then. They didn't have a postal service. Epaphroditus was being a help to the church. He was a true addition to the church. So that phrase, but your messenger, speaks volumes of this man, Epaphroditus. Fifthly, we see here in verse 25, Epaphroditus, he's my brother, he's my companion in labor, he's my fellow soldier, he's your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants or to my needs. It was not only a blessing and a help to the church of which he was a member, but he was a blessing and he was a help to Paul, the missionary. He was a blessing. He was a help to Paul, the man of God. And Paul said he ministered to my wants. He ministered to my needs. And that means much more than the fact that he brought whatever it was that they had collected. My minister, or he that ministered to my needs. That tells us that Epaphroditus was a man of humility. He was willing to minister. He was willing to serve. He was a man who had the heart of a servant. He was willing to surrender his own ways. He was willing to surrender his own plans. What Epaphroditus had given up to deliver these things to Paul. He was a minister. He was a servant. He existed to serve. And a servant of the Lord exists to serve. To serve the Lord. He confined himself, again, a servant of the Lord is one that confines himself to one master. And I believe that was true of Epaphroditus. But as a servant of the church, as a servant to Paul, think about it. He was willing to leave his home to bring these things to Paul. He was willing to leave everything that was familiar to him to do this work. He was willing to leave his employment. We don't know what Epaphroditus did for a living, but no doubt he did something. And when he took this offering and made the trip to Rome, he left his home. And he left his employment. He left his friends. He left his familiar surroundings. But it's more than that. He not only was willing to leave his home,
not only willing to leave his employment and his friends and his familiar surroundings, but was he not also willing to step into a hostile environment? Paul was in prison. Christ was not appreciated. Christians were not appreciated where Paul was. And yet when it came time for someone to go, Epaphroditus was ready. Epaphroditus was available. He would go to a place where the one he serves is hated and rejected. And if you think about it, by associating with Paul, just by simply associating with Paul, his life was in danger. Epaphroditus ministered to the needs of a saint of God. He was risking his own life by associating with Paul. But that didn't stop him. He wanted to serve. He wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to be used of God. So we see five things about Epaphroditus here in verse 25. Five things that we ought to desire. Five things that we ought to long for. To be a brother or sister. To be a companion in labor. Not to get in the way, but to be a companion in labor. To be a fellow soldier. Not to get in the way of the battle, but to stand side by side with those who are willing take a stand. I've many times through the years had people tell me, "Oh, you bring it up, brother. We'll be there. We'll stand right by you." But they weren't there. They weren't there. And I learned from that. What did I learn? I learned I'm not depending on them next time. A fellow soldier is someone who's proven themselves over and over. Sixthly, in verse 26, Paul said, he longed after you all, that is the church of Philippi. He was full of heaviness because, here's why he was full of heaviness. He was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. For he longed. It speaks of a desire and a craving. He longed after you all. And he was full of heaviness. This describes mental distress. He experienced great mental distress. Has reference to restlessness and turmoil. He said he was full of heaviness. He had this mental distress. He had this turmoil. The reason? Because ye had heard that he had been sick. He was not distressed because he had been sick. His sickness is not what caused him this distress. His own sickness is not what caused him this heaviness of heart. What caused him this distress was he had heard that they had heard that he was not doing well. And he knew that they were greatly bothered. And that bothered him. Here was a man who was connected to the church of which he was a member. They had heard that he had been sick. They had heard that he had been sick nigh unto death. And he knew that they were upset about that. He knew that they were distressed about that. And this upset him. Not his sickness, but they were upset. And that bothered him. That the church was bothered. Bothered Epaphroditus. He knew that they were having a difficult time. Yes, he was sick, but they were burdened over his sickness, and he knew this was a difficult time for them. And this caused him mental distress. He loved these people. He loved the church of which he was a member so deeply that his distress was not about him. But his distress was about what the church was going through. Even though he was desperately ill, his focus was not upon himself. His focus was upon the church. His focus was back at Philippi, where there were those that loved him and he loved them. That's where his concern was. Most are too concerned with how they feel to have time to even think about how the church might feel. We ought to always think, what I am doing, how is it going to affect the church? And when a church is burdened about us, that ought to concern us for them. You see, Epaphroditus was a living, breathing commentary on Philippians 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What a man he was, Epaphroditus. Lastly, he was willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. In verse 26, he tells us that he had been sick. And then Paul says in verse 27, for indeed he was sick. Or truly he was sick. He was so sick that he was nigh unto death. He almost died. Paul goes on to say, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He was sick, nigh unto death. But then notice what Paul said in verse 30. Why was he sick? Why had his health failed? Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Not regarding his life. There came a day when Epaphroditus just didn't feel well. But he kept going. Kept serving. A few days later, he felt even worse. And just continued to get worse. But Epaphroditus just kept on.
until he came to nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. I believe what Paul is insinuating there is that the church somehow could have been more of help to Epaphroditus. There was no need for Epaphroditus to do all of this. But here was a man who was willing to sacrifice his health for the cause of Christ. It gets next to me when someone will make a statement. Well, brother so-and-so, referring to a pastor or a preacher, they should have taken better care of themselves when they really gave their life for the cause of Christ. I'm not preaching against taking care of yourself. What I'm promoting is the cause of Christ comes first. And that was the case with Epaphroditus. His health declined due to the work. His health had declined, but he was willing. He was willing to risk everything. He considered the work of Christ to be more important than his own health and his own life. Epaphroditus put his life on the line in the service of the Lord. Is that not why the Lord says that in order for you and I to serve, we must deny ourselves? So we see these seven things about this man, Epaphroditus. In verse 25, in closing, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus." He's saying, "I'm sending him back to Philippi." He's now obviously healthy enough to make the trip, and I'm sending him back to you. Notice what he says. In verse 28, he says, I sent him therefore the more carefully or the more urgently, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore, that is, welcome him. When he comes home, welcome him. Open your arms to him. Embrace him. Receive him, therefore, because of his character. Receive him. Receive him in the Lord. That is, receive him as a servant of the Lord. Receive him for the Lord. I'm sending him back to you. Receive him. Therefore, in the Lord, with all gladness. And then it says, and hold such in reputation. Hold such people as Epaphroditus in esteem. Have respect. Hold them in reputation. That is, account them as very rare. People like Epaphroditus are rare. Very rare. I mean, if a church has one Epaphroditus, they're blessed. They're blessed of God. We ought to desire to have a church full of people like Epaphroditus. Not just one or two. Not just three or four, but we ought to desire to have a church full of people like Epaphroditus.
And I'm thankful we do have some that are like Epaphroditus. They're willing. They're willing. And they've proven themselves over and over and over again. And such individuals are rare. And if they were rare in Paul's day, I assure you they're plenty rare today. They're even more rare today. Not only are they rare, but they're valuable. Don't ever take an Epaphroditus for granted, because there's not many that's going to come along in your lifetime. There's not many Epaphroditus that you're going to know. You thank the Lord for Epaphroditus. They're valuable. They're valuable to the church. And when the Lord, I always rejoice when the Lord takes one of his children home. At the same time when the Lord takes an Epaphroditus, it's heartbreaking. Because there aren't going to be many that's going to stand in the gap. And we lose much. Especially in the day in which we live. We lose much when the Lord takes an Epaphroditus home. Because it's not likely that they're going to be replaced. Because there's just not that many Epaphroditus. But we need to thank God for every Epaphroditus. But more importantly than that, we need to strive to be Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, my brother. We need to strive to be good brothers and sisters in Christ. Epaphroditus, he's my companion in labor. He works side by side with me. Epaphroditus, he's my fellow soldier. He stood. I imagine Epaphroditus arrived at that prison that Paul witnessed Epaphroditus taking a stand. And he said, he's my fellow soldier. It's a sad day when even in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are those who fight against what's right. We need fellow soldiers. We need Epaphroditus, your messenger, he that ministered to my wants. He was a man who was connected to the church. It amazes me today how many got their names on church rolls and they have no connection whatsoever. They are not connected in their heart. They are not connected in their mind. Every now and then they might show up physically. But what we need is people that are connected in heart and in mind with the church, of which they're a member. And then here was a man who was willing to risk everything to be of service. Again, here's a great man. And this is something that we need to strive after. That God would bless us. That God would bless us with some men and some women like Epaphroditus. People that are trusted by the church. You know, church or anybody else for that matter would be very foolish to just trust somebody just because they're there. They have to prove themselves. And to be a trusted member of one of the Lord's churches. That's why Again, when it comes to officers of the church, you don't just put anybody in an office. You put people that can be trusted. You put people that have proven themselves through the years. You don't give somebody a job to get them to come to church. They get a job. They get responsibility because they've proven themselves. Because when there's been battles, they've stood. When the church needed something done, they were ready. They were available. Those are the kind of people that we ought to desire to be. So what a wonderful example that Epaphroditus is. Brother Larry, you come and lead us.